Thank you, Jesus. Sunday morning, this is May the 10th. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. And I'm going to, this teaching is a part two of the history of the world. This is going to be part two of that. Okay. Our true history has been sabotaged so that the wicked men could hide their wicked deeds. I would like to show you the origin of that, of all that steals, kills, and destroys since Satan showed up in the garden. It's called the beast system. That day in the garden, he became the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan planted his evil tree in the garden, you could say. It's called Babylon. Babylon. With that, I want to turn to Daniel chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 1 here. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid. And the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head and in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it. The fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hewn down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. And let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth, and let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. You see Babylon rising here, and you see the judgment of Babylon. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. I'm in Daniel chapter 4. Start with verse 18. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. And the king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, My Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth. This is a Babylonian system. whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hewn the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So this kingdom's being judged. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. And this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar, or all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, O king Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and the seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. So what happened? He was a mighty kingdom, but God knew the pride in him, and so he brought his kingdom down. But when he acknowledged God, he brought him back. We see here this Babylonian system. Really, to me, it becomes not a Babylonian system after you acknowledge God. Because you acknowledge who the true Creator is and who holds all things. It's been risen up and cast down throughout history. I mean, there's times all through the Scripture that we see that. I'm not going to read all of those today. But the call sign, and the ones I'm going to read, is the call sign for this Babylonian system is abortion. Because I believe abortion is their satanic worship. To terrorize these children and to drink their blood is the most heinous crime, and that's what they do in the womb. I can see why Bible teachers have called American Babylon. We are under that system. We have been. Never agreed with that until now. It is a system that has become rooted in our nation and now the nations of the world. And that's what God is doing through Donald Trump and the Q team. Where do you think the plan for Q came, or Q's plan came from? It came from God. why it took them 20 years to get it formulated to where whatever they pulled or whatever they tried, they had the answer to it. It appears they're always five or six or I don't know how many steps ahead, or whatever the cabal might do. They knew about the pandemic before, 2 years before it ever happened. God gave that plan. Okay, Genesis 3. Going to read a lot of scripture today, so. But I hope it embeds in you to where you can share it with others. It as I was teaching the shoot this week, the TV shoot, I said to the audience, I said, it's a small world after all. Everything goes right back to this. When I started seeing the truth of this, it brought the whole Bible together as one thing. Not, well, it's the old covenant, we don't even listen to that anymore, and then there's a new. No, it's a theme. It's our history book. It's the history of the world. You want to know your true history? Well, what they haven't messed with. And Revelation will come. You can read it right here in the Word of God. Maybe not detail to detail as far as like what's happened in America, but you can see the overall truth of who the saboteur is, who the enemy of, every nation is. That's Satan. Okay, Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. So at one point or another, everyone that is not following God today, this is where they're at. This is what happened to them. They got seduced by the evil one. They believed him. They questioned God. They didn't believe God. And they decided to go with the other master. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's the same old lies pushing today. The Illuminati, the Masons, the skull and bones, the bloodline families, you name them all, the cabal, they're all under this delusion. In fact, I saw a post yesterday on Wigo. It was just a picture of how Luciferians view Satan as this bright, beautiful being with all power, and they actually are deceived enough to believe Jesus is actually the bad one and Satan is the good one. They've been deceived. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired. See, Satan always offers, just like he did with Jesus. Well, if you'd worship me, I'd give you the kingdoms of this world. Just fall down and worship me. He always promises something. A tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. When we get to the part next, when we get to Genesis 6, you're going to see. The Lord just answered a question for me. He destroyed everything in the flood, but the Nephilim showed back up. That's those roots of that tree. He left. Nebuchadnezzar's tree. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Here we are back to a tree. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly, thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What you've been going through, there will be an end. There will be an end. God is using it. He didn't cause it. He never does. But He's using it to a good end. I know what I'm talking about. There's times and seasons that God uses things that are uncomfortable to us and we don't understand. But what it does is it trains us. He uses it to train us, even though He didn't do it. But He will use it. But there'll be an end. There will be an end. After He deems that you've learned what you need to learn, just like I've been through that process myself, just like you had a word earlier this week about there'll be a time that the things that have bothered you and plagued you, they'll just disappear. That we're coming into a new time and a new day, and that will change. So I want you to be encouraged today and not discouraged. Okay. And to the woman He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. The sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. From dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Okay, now with that, turn to Genesis 6. The earth became a war zone. Satan is God of this world. I don't know how many generations. I need my big thing up in here so I can walk in there and say, okay. Thank you, Lord. Well, but my deal has to stay there, so I couldn't see it. There's not room. Okay, let's get back to this. All right, Genesis 6. Whatever the descent, lineage, I don't know how many years passed from Adam. When you read in the, I think it's the book of Enoch, it might be the book of Jasher, where it talks about the death of Adam. I think it's right around this time. So it could be about 1,000, because he lived nearly close to 1,900 and whatever years he lived. So it could possibly be 1,000 years have passed, probably, let's just say, give or take a few years, when this happened. That's not many generations, not for them. When you live 1,000 years, that's, you know, one generation. All right, and it came to pass when wind men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, and they the same became mighty men, which were of renown, men of renown. What I said to you about, you see the giants show up after the flood. The Lord just said to me, you remember the parable of the tares and the wheat? You leave them alone till the end. You don't pluck them out. You leave them. And then the angels will gather the chaff, the ones to be burned, or the grapes to be pressed in the winepress of his wrath. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we know what happens. There's a flood, and everything's killed. But then we began to see, after the flood, the giants show up again. What happened in the garden has affected every culture throughout history, including ours. For other people, believe it or not. Okay, now Noah got a fresh start. Then we come to Genesis 11. And again, I'm not sure of how many... After the flood, I'm not sure how many generations here. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower. What's a city and a tower? It's that tree. It's like the World Trade Centers. It's that tree. It's those towers. What's the Jewish guy that... He talked about them, harbingers. Kahn. Yeah, Jonathan Kahn. Always talking about the harbingers. Well, I think, really, as far as harbingers, yes, I see it. I see Babylon rising. That's what he was really talking about. I didn't really understand it at the time. About the Babylonian system rising up in the cultures and those towers coming down. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into the heaven, which, according to Rob Skiba from the book of Jasher, was 200 miles high. I'm just going, wow. Took them a year to get to walk up the tower. Took a person 2 years. They had constant workmen on the tower 24/7. If somebody got tired or sick and fell off the tower, who cares? Get another worker up there. What were they doing? Satan was wanting his tower, build his tower to heaven to go overthrow God. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of all of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. The Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Boy, there's danger in unity, isn't there? There really is. Whether it be for evil, it's dangerous. For good, it's not. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, and they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them. He didn't kill them. He didn't take them out. He scattered them. Oh, Lord, now we got it all over the world. Wicked men. And they left off building the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, which Babel just means confusion. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Okay, now Genesis 18, verse 16. Now this is after the visitation, Abraham with the Lord. He talked to Sarah about she's going to have a son. And they're getting ready to, the men have rose up to go. And the Lord begins to talk to Abraham. Verse 16, Genesis 18, 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went from them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Do you know that the Lord was moving on? Abraham had to walk with him. seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. That's the church today. We're heirs according to Abraham, according to promise. The Lord said, because the city of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So what happens? Abraham stood before the Lord and bargained with the Lord. There be 50 righteous, 40 righteous, 30 righteous, 20 righteous, 10 righteous. Unfortunately, there was not even 10. But he rescued his nephew Lot, and his two daughters made it out alive. Okay, now to Exodus 1. I'm trying not to read quite so much scripture. I mean, we could be here all day if I read everything on every story, but I don't want to do that. I just want you to get a general picture. Well, let's read. Wait a minute. Let's go back to Genesis. I want to read 19. I want you to see. I told you abortion was a sign. Here's another sign of that system. Verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into my servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. He made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Now, I don't know how far that was. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. So the whole, all the men from every quarter were homosexuals. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and ye do ye to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing. For therefore they came under the shadow of my roof, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And sounds like the deep state, doesn't it? They pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So we know that God rained down fire and brimstone on the two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, because of their anti-God ways. There's only two masters here today. There's a lot of regimes throughout the world that maybe believe in different kinds of factions, but there's only one. You're either serving Satan or you're either serving God. There's no in between. Okay, now Exodus 1. And to me, we're fixing to see another sign that is a sign of the times that we live in. Verse 1, I'm not going to read all the tribes here. Verse 6, and Joseph died and all his brethren and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. The land was filled with them. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. The Pharaoh before had fear of God. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war. They join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. So they set aside, as today, the Bill Gates of Hell agenda of genocide, the Nazi genocide that's been from Genesis 3 on. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field, all their service wherein they made them serve with vigor. Our dearly past presidents sold us into slavery. They borrowed, in a bankrupt United States of America, sold us into slavery. Our birth certificates are actually a stock certificate. They see us like you would look at a cow on a stock certificate. We're chattel to them. That's the way it was with the children of Israel. The Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field. Work by the sweat of your brow and tax you to death. Wherein they made them serve with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. So, in Moses' day, abortion, forced abortion, that's not the first time. It's been suggested that the day of birth, that the baby being born can be killed coming from the mother's womb. That's what they've been pushing for the last few years. In some places, it's legal. Or, if your baby's here and you decide, well, we don't really need another kid, go ahead and kill it. The doctor and the patient can discuss. I forget what governor came up with that idea. That's nothing new. So there's another sign here. But the midwives feared God and did as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men and children alive. And the king of Egypt called the midwives unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men and children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Even Moses himself was cast upon the water to save his life. So we see a sign. History repeats itself. Kind of like Q says, future proves past. The devil does the same thing over and over and over. God doesn't change, but Satan does the same. It's the same old cycle. Wherever he finds somebody he can corrupt, he starts the same. Those roots are still in the ground. You cut it down, you chop it off, you leave the roots. Before you know it, it starts rising again. Okay, Matthew 2. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, and I will come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So God provided through the three kings riches to keep them, to keep the Messiah safe. And when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time when he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, would not be comforted because they are not. So, after Herod's death, they were instructed to come back. Abortion all over again. Late term, real late term abortion, 2 years old and under. We see this pattern in our culture, the killing of the children. Kim Clement, I don't know what year he said that, no longer will your children be your food. Okay, Luke 4. Satan is God of this world. Now through Jesus, we have authority over the devil. But what's coming? The kingdoms of this world of Satan are now becoming the kingdoms of our God. You know why? He's going to be chained in the pit. Can't wait. Luke 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, to whom I will I give it. If therefore thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Was it his to give? Yes. Now you know where the elite of today, the sports stars, the people that sing, or whatever you call them, sports stars, Hollywood actors. Hollywood was raised up by Luciferians. It's Hollywood for sure. If you make it in this industry, you will worship our God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and cast him down. Thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all that temptation, he departed from him for a season. Boy, he really thought he did it when he got Jesus nailed on the cross, didn't he? Until he rose. Okay. From generation to generation, the bloodline families have ruled the earth through the Babylonian system, which is called the Beast. Here are the 13 bloodline families: the Astors, Bundys, Collins, DuPonts, Freemans, Kennedys, the Lees or Lies, Onassis, Rockefellers, Rothschilds, the Russells, the Van Dunes, and the Merovingians, I guess. They control the money, honey. Until Donald John Trump showed up, and what he is currently doing, merging the Fed into the U.S. Treasury and restructuring it and bringing back the gold standard. In other words, he's ripping, just like his executive order, which I'm going to read, through their wicked deeds, they have stolen, they have killed, and they've destroyed humanity. Since Satan showed up in the garden, this has been the history of the earth, the true history. Men have not understood it. Men have fought against men. But there's only one culprit, and that's Satan. Okay. Executive order blocking the property of persons involved in serious human rights abuse or corruption. He signed this on December the 21st, 2017. He said, by the authority vested in me as president, by the Constitution, the laws of the United States of America, including the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. I'm not going to read all the little things. The National Emergencies Act, the Global Magnitsky Human Rights Accountability Act, and the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952. I, Donald John Trump, President of the United States of America, find that the prevalence and the severity of human rights abuse and corruption that have their source in whole or in substantial part outside the United States, such as those committed or directed by persons listed in the annex to this order, have reached such scope and gravity that they threaten the stability of international political and economic systems. It has gotten so big that it has threatened every human on the planet. Human rights abuse and corruption undermine the values that form an essential foundation of stable, secure, and functioning societies, having devastating impacts on individuals, weaken democratic institutions, degrade the rule of law, perpetuate violent conflicts, facilitate the activities of dangerous persons, and undermine economic markets. The United States seeks to impose tangible and significant consequences on those who commit serious human rights abuse or engage in corruption, as well as to protect the financial system of the United States from abuse by these same persons. I therefore determine that serious human rights abuse and corruption around the world constitute an unusual and extraordinary threat to national security. I heard yesterday that actually our troops are over in Germany right now freeing them. The extraordinary threat to the national security, the foreign policy, and the economy of the United States, I hereby declare a national emergency to deal with that threat. What's this pandemic? What has it done to the whole world? I hereby determine an order. Now he goes on to talk about the confiscation of property and interest that are in the United States, that herein come within the United States, or that are hereafter come within the possession or control of any United States person. The following persons are blocked, may not be transferred, paid, exported, withdrawn, or otherwise dealt in. So he's going on to talk about, and there's there's a lot of stuff in this document. It'd be worth reading to let you know that it's all over the world and it runs very deep. And it's not just him. I saw a meme yesterday that said, the UK wants President Trump as their prime minister. You know, and I thought, well, you know, I had it to speak that Canada's part of the United States. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Okay, they control the money, honey, until the president showed up. He is currently stripping them of their assets. It has all been stolen from us. Now, I want to give you a background of the three core cities of this beast system. Okay, I'm going to read some of this. We did this a couple of years ago, but I just felt like it was time that we revisit. It's all connected together. This is the satanic occult symbols in Washington, D.C., and I have a point to reading all this to you. The Freemasons are phallic worshipers. Here's the Washington Monument. Obelisk, erect, phallic, or penis symbols related to the Egyptian sun god Ra. There's a story about Ra being killed. Yeah, and his certain part of his anatomy was cut off, and so his wife made a one out of something. It's stupid. It's just, anyway. It's related to the Egyptian god, sun god Ra. The four sides of the Washington Monument are lined with the cardinal directions. Okay, east, west, north, and south. At the ground level, each side of the monument measures 55.5 feet in width, which is equal to 666 inches each side. The height of the obelisk is 555.5 feet, which is equal to 6,666 inches. This is the exact ratio of King Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. Christians have the cross, but Illuminists have their phallic obelisk. The new grand phallus or obelisk symbol representing the sinister power of the global Illuminati elite is the One World Trade Center, replacing the old World Trade Center in New York. It kind of looks that way. The new architectural wonder is exactly 1,776 feet tall, featuring the Great Pyramid in its design. This evidences that the satanic plot for world government has existed for millennials and is perpetuating from generation to generation by occult organizations. So, Egypt was Babylon. Okay, the word obelisk literally means Baal's shaft or Baal's organ of reproduction. This should be especially shocking when we realize that we have a gigantic obelisk in our nation's capital known as the Washington Monument. Okay. Truly, I hope I'm not the only Christian who has a problem with a great erect male penis being the symbol of our nation. This is so perverted. Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The erect male phallus is an ancient occult symbol of satanic strength, power and strength. Is this the Luciferian ruling elite's way of mocking us as they debase, humiliate, rape, and dehumanize us? It's no coincidence that the Washington Monument was erected 6,666 inches tall. It's 66.6 inches wide. It has Satan's markings all over it. Luciferians have hijacked our nation, and they're in the process of setting up a police state that will rival World War II fascist Germany under Adolf Hitler. Which this was written in 2016 before President Trump got into office. So, the Illuminati launched their 1775 plot for world government the next year in 1776 during the Revolutionary War. The rebels no sooner broke away from England, establishing their own 13 colonies. Just take note of the numbers, the 13 here in America. But they tried to also overthrow Canada in the War of 1812. The Canadians weren't so easy to defeat, and the Illuminati were instead defeated and pushed back into the U.S. by Canada. The United States was founded by Freemasons. Whether we like it or not, they were, every one of them, with the primary intent of one day achieving world government, a.k.a. a new world order. I don't know, George Washington, you know. U.S. President George Washington was a high-level Freemason, as were eight of the 56 signers at the Declaration of Independence. The following evidence shows the Masonic control over Washington, D.C., the headquarters of our U.S. government, which you see the owl. Okay. It's called the Capitol Hill owl. It's the mall in Washington, D.C. is laid out so the gardens and the streets form the image of an owl. The owl is representative of the mystical goddess Lilith. Okay, please read Bohemian Grove Exposed for much more information on the owl. Okay, the street design in Washington, D.C. has been laid out in such a manner that certain Luciferian symbols are depicted by the streets, cul-de-sacs, and rotaries. This design was created in 1791, a few years after Freemasonry assumed the leadership of the New World Order in 1782. Now you know why I put on that supplement sheet that we want D.C. to be nuked. Needs to be burned out, needs to be crumbled to the ground with all its demonic symbolism, that with Vatican City and London City, because they're identical replicas. They're just different arms of the three city states. They all see an eye on your dollar. In Europe, occult leaders were told by their familiar spirits as early as the 1740s that the new American continent was to be established as the new Atlantis, and its destiny was to assemble the global leadership of the drive to the New World Order. Sounds like National Treasure, doesn't it? The movies. The United States of America was chosen to lead the world into this kingdom of Antichrist from the very beginning. God had another plan. Ha, ha, ha. The capital is Washington, D.C., which is evidenced by the preponderance of occult symbols. George Washington, a 33 degree, remember 33 degree, Freemason, selected French Freemason Pierre Charles Elefant to design the city's layout in Washington, D.C. The boundaries of the city, established by George Washington in 1791, form a square 10 miles long on each side. It's a small place, I told you. I was so surprised. Everything was so small. It's a small city. It's centered on the originally proposed location for the Washington Monument. The east-west diagonal of the square crosses over the Capitol building. The north-south diagonal crosses over the White House. Now, it goes into all these details on all these different places, and I'm not going to read all of that. I just wanted you to pick up on the Masonic, about the Masonic. It has been said the Washington Monument sits due south of the White House. This is not exactly true, as you can see in the photo above. In reality, the obelisk is directly south of the Masonic Temple, which sits 13 blocks north of the White House. The temple is the headquarters of the Supreme Court of Scottish Rites of Freemasonry, modeled after the descriptions of the mausoleum of, I can't even pronounce the name. It's one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. As mentioned earlier, the four sides of the Washington Monument are lined. They're all perfectly aligned. Okay, I won't even go into that. Let me look, get on here. Okay. Satanism and the occult are saturated with sexual perversion, child molesting, and human sacrifices. A lot of the statues do have a lot of nudity and have a lot of that kind of stuff going on. Most worshipers in these groups deny such claims, but some have openly professed it, such as the godless bisexual Aleister Crowley. Such immoral occult influences are prevalent in rock music, feminism, and even in Walt Disney movies such as The Chronicles of Narnia. Okay. It goes into detail, which I gave you a copy of this. If you want to go back and look at all the statues and all the satanic, you know, symbolism that the whole city lays out. But here's the three city states. Here's the all-seeing eye on your dollar. London, Vatican, D.C. They are cities that don't even pay taxes. Did you know that? They're not even a part of the United States. London City is not part of London or the U.K. Just like I've heard the Vatican is its own laws, its own everything. So see, they're independent. They don't pay taxes like we do. They're not even under the same things that we're under. Right here, he says, the historian, author Ralph Epperson has spent many years researching the history of the Great Seal and has discovered that those who designed the two circles committed America to what has been called a secret destiny. This future destiny is so unpleasant that those who wanted the changes it entails had to conceal their truth in symbols. That's why you can fold these dollars a certain way and see every event. You can see 9/11, you can see the Titanic, you can probably see the Hindenburg. There's certain ways you could fold that. That's why Q says symbolism will be their downfall. I was telling Danny yesterday that I found out from the guy that does, Gene, that does the Army Insider, that does the decodes, that they found the tunnels all over the world from the star maps. The capstone of the pyramid is symbolic of the Antichrist, who, when he comes, will complete the pyramid. The beast system is now being prepared, aka the New World Order. Below, you can get an idea of the power structure of these satanic groups. If you want to do research, look up the various groups on the internet. I ain't being farmed. It been here. It been here. The history of the world. Goes on to talk about the Pentagon is actually a pentagram. Okay. Like I said, there's a lot of information here, and we've been through it before, and I'm not going to go through it again, but I just wanted you to see. It all of this is rooted in Freemasonry. And you're going to see this, and I'll back it up with what the Lord showed me before. I got this out because of what the Lord showed me prior. Okay. All right. They control the money. All right. The beast system imposes its will on humanity by false flag events. Before I do that, I could never find, I was looking... I'll just wait on this. Let me just keep going, then I'll share this. I confess that our true history has been exposed to everyone so they can understand what has happened to us. That's one of the confessions. I want everyone to know the true history. There are many that have transpired in our day, and I won't go into detail about that today. I would like to start with this in our history book, God's Word, in the book of Revelation. And I want to hit on the topic of the seven trumpets today. All right, Revelation 8. That's what I mean. You think you get it set and the Lord will say something else or go, oh, let's go on another hunt. Let me still read that again. The beast system imposes its will on humanity by false flag events. There's been false flag events happening throughout history. When they killed all the babies in Egypt, that was a false flag event. Real people got killed. Yes, they did, but it was Satan's system and how they control people, how they use people, just like this pandemic was planned to control people. And also, as far as I know, from what I have heard, and I've had it confirmed a few times, that they did give the elites, through the adrenochrome, it's called the COVID-17, which is lethal. And he's blocked any interaction with China, so they can't get the cure. Because any of these things they set off, they have the cure first. They're not about to set off something that they don't have the cure for, because they don't want to die too. But they can't get the cure. Not this time. Okay. Trumpets sound the signs of the times. Trumpets were used to sound the battle cry, the time of war. They're also, I believe, a wake-up call. And we're in the time of the Great Awakening. That's come up many times, the time of the Great Awakening. You hear it all over social media. We've had it, the Lord's spoken to Danny and me both in different words with those very words. The time of the Great Awakening. It's time for people to wake up. All right, now we just went through the seals. Once the seals are ripped open, eyes are beginning to open up and they're seeing the truth. Okay, then here come the trumpets. This is verse 8. Okay, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. The seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now I want you to remember the 33 degree masonry here. The first angel sounded, and there formed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third of trees was burnt up, and all grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures were in the sea and had life, died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. See the Freemasonry involvement? See the false flag events? See, their symbolism will be their downfall. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, a third part of the moon, and a third part of the star, so as the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. See a pattern here? 33. One third. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying, woe with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now I want you to particularly just pay attention to this one. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose smoke out of the pit, and as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads, and to them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death. See, what was loosed on the elite was COVID-17. In those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared into battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns, like gold. Corona means crown. I wrote here corona. I said, Lord, this sounds like the coronavirus. It started in January and it's wrapping up here in May, 5 months. And the only ones it really could hurt were the ones that were sabotaged. And they had hairs as the hair of women, their teeth as were the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. So it's obvious it's released out of the pit. This is an assignment of Satan. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the six angels which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, Melissa with Red Pill of the World, she says this. I don't know. The Lord didn't really speak anything to me about it. She said that she thought that the four angels that were bound there were the ones that were keeping the Garden of Eden, because that's where the Euphrates is. That was the garden that the four angels were kept. It said the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of man. Here's the three mason again. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. Thus I saw the horses in the vision, and they that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses were the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. But by these three was the third part of men killed by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. She says these angels are sent forth to kill those that don't have the seal of God, just like the plague of the locust. It was sent to those who were not sealed by God. You know, you had that word about we were quarantined. They were not. They are not. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were likened to serpents and had heads in which them they do hurt. The rest of the men were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which case can be, nor hear, nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. So this is a backfire here on them. Just like that word that the Lord gave me, this is a backfire on them, and they still will not repent. Neither will they repent of their murders, sorceries, fornication, or their thefts. But something the Lord quickened to me. I remember a Cereal Brain 2 post, and I could never find it. I went in there, and it wouldn't let me load some of the links, so I couldn't find the information. But this is the post 207 of Cereal Brain, image 78. This is a mess. The maestro is giving a speech. He's given a speech. I don't know the date on this. I just know it was post 207. The maestro's speech. That's what I want from Ukraine. So this is before the impeachment hoax mess. This is the hidden code. I'm not a threat because I'm a promise. Obsessed with wealth and genetics, the solution to all problems. Another maestro speech. That's what I said. And then the hidden code is, and the people awake. I want nothing. I am the chosen one. It's about time. Millennial reign. I said it twice. The Garden of Eden, apple equals validator. Stop the bleed. It is finished. Crossroads. Maestro speech. So he goes. These are what he says, and this is what has been decoded. Let's begin. Triggered. End of days. That's all. I want no quid pro quo. Grossly incompetent. Find out on your own. Tell Zelensky, no quid pro quo. The storm is here. President Zelensky, Central Intelligence Agency, to do the right thing. The storm is coming. So here is my answer. I talk however I want. So he's giving these speeches and he's saying all these things, and most people don't even know what in the world he's talking about. But people that do know are picking up in what he's speaking, code, and deciphering that code. Then he says, and then the hidden code, the end of time, this is the final word. Can you guess who I am? From the president, best is yet to come. Of the United States, pedophilia and cannibalism. I want nothing. I am the chosen one. Ritual sacrifice. It's all about time, the millennial reign. Thank you, folks. The clock is ticking. Have a good time. Time for a change. All right, here's the hidden message, overall message. I told them, I don't want anything less than the fall of the Y family, and that's the adrenochrome symbol. And it cut off a little bit of it. And the end of the satanic triangle that has been the source of all the problems of humanity and on our planet. Your reign has lasted long enough. Run, the storm is coming. I want you gone. Give up everything. This is not a threat. You know I am a threat. I'm not a threat. I'm a promise. You know your reign would end. You knew the chosen one would end it. Well, here I am. Can you guess who I am? Like I said, it's cut off on the end, so I can't. There's a few words there. I want you to go through these codes, numbers, symbols, dates, stories, and misspellings. Find out on your own what I'm really saying and who I am. The clock is ticking and the end is near. You better do the right thing for the people I serve and the country I love. The beast or the best is yet to come. So he says, can you guess who I am? The clock is ticking. Do the right thing. So he was chosen by God for this time and this hour because he knows the millennial reign is at hand. Even the president knows this. Okay. Oh, something else. In one of these decodes, it was either germ warfare or a virus or a vaccine, something like that. They put it under a microscope, and when they did, you could see this little creature. And I think it had a crown on. I couldn't find it, but the Lord quickened it to me, the corona, that you could see under a microscope in that thing they produced, this evil thing they concocted, his own instruments of destruction. Like maybe those with the crown and the hair and that torment me in 5 months. I couldn't find it, so I couldn't complete it. But I thought, whoa, Lord, that's heavy stuff. Don't tell me the devil's not doing this. He's behind the vaccines. He's been controlling the populace through vaccines. It's little children. I can remember standing in a line for that stupid polio vaccine. Couldn't go to school unless you had a vaccine or had the vaccines. Okay. All right. I couldn't find the Seal Brain post about the creature and a virus or a vaccine, can't remember which. When looked at under a microscope, it appeared to look a lot like these creatures that come up out of the pit that resemble locusts. And another similarity, this virus really started here in January and it's ending in May, so that's 5 months. Their ultimate end was to vaccinate everyone, the final mark of the beast system to control us, track us, and if they deem it so, to kill us. Even after their plan has been foiled, they are as defiant as ever, which we just read. Okay, now let's turn to the 11th chapter. Get a drink. Is this making sense to y'all here? Man, I wanted to find that so bad.
I know, me too.
Revelation 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall be tread under foot 42 months, and I will give power unto my 2 witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the 2 olive trees and 2 candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they have offended their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and have no, and not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And when they dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these 2 prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. You know, really, all of this that we have seen transpire and all this awakening has been a total of 3.5 years. I mean, really. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they descended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies behind them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell. In the earthquake were men slain of men, and 7,000, and the remnant were frightened, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe was past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the 7th angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Is there any wonder that very last plague, it's what's bringing them down. It's bringing them down. And the 24 elders which sat up before God on his seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. The temple of God was opened in heaven. There was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And there, chapter 12, and there appeared a great woman, wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. You know, we sit in our chairs every morning and we decree. And we're overcoming. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the seal. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath put a short time. This has been the last 6,000 years. And when the dragon saw that the woman was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a times and half time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth waters of flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we see the triumphant church. Now we're going to see the fall of Babylon. No more Babylon rising. Okay, chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. They worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. Now I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now we're talking about, there's always a natural leader and a spiritual leader, and that's what this is talking about here. I believe it's the Pope and whoever is the head of Germany. Angela Merkel is sure playing a big part in this right now. The first beast's deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. He caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, say he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Having their father's name written in their foreheads, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. So he seals the church here. And so we're going to see in chapter 16 is the complete judging of the beast system. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And a third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. I heard the angels of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another one of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the ways of the kings of the east might be prepared. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue about Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was an earthquake such as not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. So you can read 17, 18, 19. It's all about the destruction and the overthrow of Babylon. All right, that's all I got today.